very thankful this morning to be here. I'm glad to be back with you all, and what all happened over there in Austria and what the family is going through now is a really difficult thing. But the Lord wants us to arm ourselves likewise. You know, we have to realize that this is the life of a Christian. It isn't about getting all of our prayers answered on the spot. It isn't about getting this done and that done and having help with this and with that and making it to our heavenly home. It's about glorifying God while we're here. And however he calls us to be, to glorify him, we have to realize that that's our lot. That's our lot in life.
Amen.
So we want to start in 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." We have to settle it, dear ones. We have to settle it, that we're not going to live to the flesh anymore. We're not going to go after all the things that are out here in the world, but we're going to actually live to the will of God. We're going to have to be able to say to God, "I will do your will, no matter how hard it is, no matter how it may affect me, no matter what consequences come from it." We are going to need to be able to have a determination that we will do the will of God. One of the things that I told them when I was over there is that God knew this. He knew this way before they did. Way before they went through it, God knew this. He knew everything about it. He knew what he was going to allow. He knew. He knows the outcome of the end of this thing. We don't know. We don't know timing. We don't know anything. But we trust our living God. People have trusted the living God down through the ages of time, and God has been faithful to them. I want to read in Hebrews 11. It's the faith chapter. Hebrews 11. I want to start at the 32nd verse, 32 through 38. It says, "What shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gibeon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." That sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, the things they did, subdued whole kingdoms. You and I are never going to have an opportunity to subdue a whole kingdom.
Yeah.
Wrought righteousness. Now that we're going to be able to do. We're going to be able to, no matter what comes our way, keep being righteous, keep doing the right thing, obtain promises. We have great, many, many great promises. But do you know that without standing for God, that we will never, ever have all of the promises that are there? Many of those promises are promises to bring us through things. So if we never go through anything, we won't know and realize the promises. God has promised many things. It says, "Stop the mouths of lions." Maybe none of us will ever have an opportunity to do that. Maybe we'll never have an opportunity like Daniel to be thrown into a lion's den. But you know what? We don't know what may happen. We don't know what may come our way. There are other kinds of things than just physical lions. What about the spiritual lions in our lives and roaring and coming after us all the time? And Lord, help us. But this sounds good, doesn't it? It says, "Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong." You ever had those times? When you were really, really weak, but God was so strong on your behalf that you came through on the other side and you turned around and you looked back and you said, "How did that happen? How did I do that?" That is not me.
Right.
I don't have that.
Thank the Lord.
It's God.
Yes.
It says, wax valiant in a fight. Is that what we do? Oh, we learn to do that, don't we?
Yes.
There's times when there's a fight and we're not very good at it. But we learn some things, don't we? We learn how to stand and we learn how to use our weapons better. And finally, we start having fights and everything where we wax valiant. In other words, we're brave, we're strong, we keep pressing till we win. It said, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Oh, dear ones. How many devils have you chased today? How many devils did you chase last week? How many armies came against you in all manner of things thrown up in your face, all manner of things loaded down on your back, loaded down on your mind, trying to overpower you and make you feel like that you were nothing and couldn't do anything and had no victory? How many of those alien armies have you put to flight? It says, women receive their dead raised to life again. Now that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Maybe none of us have ever seen something like that. But I remember Brother Bowles telling us about, I think it was his brother, was it his little brother, that was raised to life in his mother's arms. You know, brought back. There have been those all along through history. Brother Paul told of his thing that happened to him just a few years ago.
Yes.
Where he was raised back to life.
Amen.
See, these things are real.
Yes,
they happen.
Yes.
But there have been a lot of people that have done it.
Yes.
And they weren't brought back.
Right.
But there are those that God says, no, not today.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then it goes on, and others were tortured. Oh, that doesn't sound good, does it? Others were tortured. Others didn't get what they wanted. Others went through something that was more horrific. It says others were tortured. And then it says that not accepting deliverance. In other words, you can recant. You can say, it doesn't mean anything. I don't believe in God. We're going to do this or we're going to do that. And we're threatening you with this and that and the other. But because they would not accept deliverance,
yes,
they were tortured. You know, we can sometimes be tortured, not just physically.
Yes.
I want us to think about the physical today. I want us to think about it.
It's true.
Because we don't know where this whole world is headed.
That's right.
And we need to have it settled.
That's true. Lord.
You cannot afford to walk into some of these situations and not have it settled.
Yes.
It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they were tortured to death. Big why? Because they were going to receive a better resurrection. They knew they were going to receive a better one. Do you know that today?
Amen.
That you're going to receive a better one? Do you know that death doesn't really matter to the Christian? It's not supposed to matter. It's not supposed to matter. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
It says that, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, beatings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Oh, listen, if you're in prison in one of our prisons today, here in America, it won't be too hard. But they weren't put in prisons like today. They were put in places that were horrible. The conditions were horrible. They were smelly. They didn't have sanitation. No doubt they died more of diseases in there than they died of torments, because the conditions were so awful. And moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. You ever been hit by a rock? You ever had, when you were growing up, one of your brothers or sisters pick up a rock and hit you with a rock? It kind of hurts. Depends on how big it is and how hard they throw it and, you know, what part of your body it hits. But stoning, you know, stoning is a bunch of people around you heaving any kind of stone that they can at you over and over and over. Just a storm of clouds. Of rocks. It says they were sawn asunder. Listen, dear ones. He's talking about God's people. All right, God's people. We need to be ready in our minds, in our hearts, to face whatever the devil throws at us. Oh, listen. Dear ones, there are people around the world right now that are having their heads chopped off. They're having their dismembering them because they're Christian. They're killing their children in front of them because they're Christian.
Oh Lord.
See, this used to be common in the early morning church, and we've become so civilized that we don't think about these things anymore. But do you know, around the world, this is still happening.
Yes.
And these people are standing for God. They're not recanting. They're getting what they need. God is giving them grace and giving them the strength they need to be able to suffer for his name. Now, what happens when they do that? What happens when they suffer like that? Do you know that the church grows? It looks like it would be the opposite, doesn't it? It looks like that if this is happening and they're dying and they're being tortured and they're being sawn asunder and all these things, well, it looks like everybody would be afraid to be a Christian. But no, the church grows. Listen, the laws of mankind and the way they think are not the laws of God. God, through tribulation and persecution of the church, causes it to grow. It's his work. It happens like that. It says, we're tempted, we're slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. That's what some of these people are doing now. They're hiding out in these countries where they can't worship. They're hiding out. They're hiding in caves. They're in dens. They're going out, and one person is sneaking out to go and get food. And you understand what I'm saying? People are facing these things that we're reading about here. They're facing them in other countries right now. And we needn't think that our country is so civilized it'll never come here. We don't know what could come. We don't know. I remember when I was young, I was newly saved, just been saved maybe a year or two. Brother Pat Husky was my pastor up in Orland, California. And I don't know if any of you remember him. He was a little man, little bald-headed man. And he preached about the sufferings that we would go through at the end. I'm telling you, he scared me to death. He scared me. I'd only been saved a little while. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can go through that. I don't know. And I remember how it stirred me. But do you know what? Over time, God brought us to places to where we had to stand up and we had to face authorities and we had to do these things. And we were able to because God helped us do that. Because God cemented it. But look, dear ones, we're going to have to arm ourselves. Arm ourselves. Understand that these are the sufferings of the people of God. Because the world is against righteousness and holiness.
Yes.
They do not want to be reminded of it. They do not want to see it in you.
Yes.
They do not want to feel guilty watching you.
Yes. So
they
true.
Want you out of their lives. They want you out of their offices. They want you out of their neighborhoods. They want you out. Because your life condemns. This is not an easy life here for a Christian. Oh, there was a time when religious people were honored. There was a time when they received honor and people enjoyed them and they wanted to have them. Even if they weren't saved themselves, they wanted to have religious people in their neighborhood. And they wanted people, you know what I'm saying? You remember those times? I remember when I was a young girl. I remember there were those times. Those times are gone. In my lifetime, they're gone. There aren't a lot of people honoring Christians anymore. They're trying to put more and more restrictions. They're trying to cause people to think more and more that you are ridiculous and you don't really know what you're doing and it's all just a crutch and it's all just a something that people need because they're so weak. And all that we are this, they want to say, we're the strong ones, and we're this, and we're that, and they're the weak ones. How do you know? Well, because you can hit them and treat them bad and everything else, and they'll just stay calm and nice. They're weak. That's what they consider weak. There is, the enemy is after every Christian. He's after everyone that names the name of Christ.
That is so true.
And he wants to destroy your faith in him.
Yes.
And he loves to bring what ifs to your mind. How many what ifs did you have last week? Lots of them. They happen all the time. The devil's always in your head saying, what if, what if, what if? If it starts with what if, it comes from the devil. Comes from the devil. You know why? Because God doesn't say what if. He just knows.
True.
He knows. He doesn't say what if to us. He already knows. He'll just tell you the truth. He'll just lead you the right way. So it says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world wasn't worthy. Of these ones that stood and died and suffered for the name of Christ, the world wasn't worthy of them. They were so far above that what the world had to offer, all their kingdoms, all of their riches, their gold, their honors, their everything that they had to offer in this world, these men and women that went through these things, the world was not worthy of them. God took them home. The world was not worthy of them. They think we're not worthy. But it was the world that wasn't worthy. Acts 5, 28. 28 through 30. This is when Peter got in trouble and the other apostles, and they had told him to quit preaching in Jesus' name. And so this is a carry-on from that point. It says, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered. I want you to take note. They answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? The authorities here, they have authority. These people have authority to do things to them. And they just let them know, we're going to continue to obey God, not man. And it says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. And then he goes on to say some other things. Then we go down to the 38th verse. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men's and let them, this is where one of their own stepped in and he said, wait a minute. Now, what we need to think real carefully here, because if this is of God, then we're going to be found to be fighting against God. And if this is of man, you know, then it's going to fall apart.
Right.
We don't have to put our hands on it. We don't have to do all of these things. And then he says, now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply you be found even to fight against God.
Amen.
And to him they agreed. Now, I want you to notice, they took take note. They agreed with him.
Yes,
you're right, you're right. And when they had called the apostles and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, didn't they just agree?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they just agree that we should let them alone? But they couldn't help themselves. So they beat them. And then they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And then they let him go. Now, he told them to leave him alone. So they went right back to telling them, you can't talk about Jesus, and we beat you. Okay, then it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Shame. One of the things that the devil tried to do over there in Austria was try to make them feel ashamed. Because they were on very good terms with all of their neighbors. And so the devil was trying to make them feel like, what are they going to think of us now? When you have let a child die. You know, what are they going to think now? The devil was trying to make them ashamed.
Yeah.
But there's one woman in the neighborhood that has been friendly, really friendly towards them. She came over while we were there. She came to service while we had service, when we had service. She stayed there the whole day. She told them that all the neighbors had been calling her up and asking her what's going on and what's happening and what did they do and why are the police here and why is this and why is that. And she told them, she says, you need to all mind your own business. God always has someone. She's not saved, doesn't claim to be saved. But she has a care and a concern for them. The Lord put her there to help.
Right. Thank the Lord.
He can use anybody.
Yes.
All right. Now we want to go to Acts 12 and 5. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's a good thing, isn't it?
It is.
They were praying, praying, praying. And then it says down in the 11th verse, after the angel had come in and gotten him through all the gates and outside the city, it says, and when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews.
Amen.
And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying.
Yeah.
They were praying.
Yeah.
And when, so he knocked on the door, and the damsel came and answered the door, or went and, he said, it's Peter. And she was so happy when she heard Peter's voice. She opened not the gate for gladness. She was just so happy. She didn't even think to open the gate. Ran in and told Peter, stood before the gate. And what did they say? Thou art mad. Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, uh-oh, it's his angel. They killed him. And his angel has come to visit us. This is what they're thinking. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, what were they?
Astonished.
Astonished. I thought they were praying.
Right.
I thought they were praying. So we know this much. We know they weren't praying for the angels to deliver him out of prison. Because if they were praying that, and he came out of prison, they wouldn't be astonished with him standing there. There were probably a lot of things they were praying. Lord, you know, help the magistrates to let him go. Lord, help him to be treated right while he's in there. Lord, help his mind, help him in his body. We don't know what they might be doing to him. There was a lot of prayers going up. They were saying a lot of things. But they weren't expecting immediate deliverance. But I want you to notice one thing. It didn't hinder God from immediately delivering. I want you to get this. Because the devil is going to come to us all the time and say, your faith isn't good enough. You didn't pray hard enough. You didn't say the right words. You didn't do this and you didn't do that. I want you to take note here. They didn't either. And they were astonished at what God had done. It doesn't hinder God because we don't know the exact words to say. It doesn't hinder God because we don't think of the exact way that it could be done. It doesn't hinder God from doing his will and his purpose that our faith is so weak. No, it doesn't hinder God. God has a purpose in everything he does. And he's going to have his will. Yes, he wants us to be with him in it. They were with him. They were praying. They didn't know anything else to do but pray. They were begging. They were pleading. They were praying. They didn't know the right words to say. They didn't know everything that was going to happen. They didn't know. And at the end, they thought, oh no, they killed him. All of our prayers, we've been praying, but it all came to naught because he's dead now. Didn't hinder God at all. God is going to do his will. He's going to have his way. But the devil is going to try to discourage us and say, if you had more faith, this would happen. That's what happened to them over there in Austria. The devil began to torment them right away. You didn't have enough faith. Oh, he's a cruel devil. God's going to have his way. But yet, as they examined it over the next two or three days, as they examined it, they both realized as they talked that both of them had a feeling she was going to die. Both of them had a feeling about it. They were praying for her deliverance. They were praying that she would be risen. But God was softening them. He was talking to their minds. He was bringing the possibility before them. Even though they're pleading and begging and all those things. And God loves them. And he would have loved to have given them what they wanted. But he had a purpose. And he needed to fulfill his purpose. And even though they're pleading for her, they're saying, Lord, whatever you will. Isn't that what we do?
Yes.
We do that so often.
Yes.
We don't know for sure. We ask and plead for things. And we don't know for sure.
Yes.
What exactly is going to happen? How it's going to come? But God, it didn't hinder because they didn't open up and say to each other in the trial and the test, saying, I'm feeling like the Lord's going to take her. Yeah, I'm feeling that way too. And then them pray. But God could have done it that way. But he let them plead. He let them ask. He let them cry their tears. He let them do all of that. And then in the end, the devil says, you weren't strong enough. I'm telling you, we are going to have to face some hard mental battles. We are going to have strong mental battles.
Yes.
And that means we have to start now. If you're going to win that big battle over there at the end, you better start now winning the small battles.
Yes.
When the Lord says, don't do this, and you just can't hardly keep your mouth shut, you better win that battle.
Yes.
You better start winning those little battles that God gives you all the time, because there's big battles coming. And we're going to need to know that we can do it. And how do we learn? By facing the small battles and winning. But dear ones, I'm going to tell you, we can't be little children. We can't be tossed to and fro. We can't let the things like that come against us and then give in to those things. God wants us to be strong on His behalf. Be strong. None of us are strong in ourselves. None of us think we can face these things by ourselves. We all know it's going to take God to take us through. We all know this. So why does the devil say God isn't strong enough to take you through? That isn't what he says. He says you're not strong enough. But it's God. We already know that. We can agree with the devil. You're right. I'm not. But God is. And God and I together can defeat you. Just the two of us can defeat you. All right. Luke 12:5. It says, "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Is this the devil?
No.
This is God. This is God that says when it is time for every soul to leave this earth. He says. He's the one that judges and looks at and takes into consideration all different manner of things in a person's life. He says when it's enough. That's the one we're to fear. We spend a lot of time fearing the devil and his tactics and what he's doing and what's happening. We fear to displease man. We fear to stand up in the face of man. We fear to speak out like we should. We fear a lot of things. But we don't fear the proper one. And that's God himself. What would happen? What would happen? Something's going on, maybe at your job, what would happen? And you feel this need to speak out. Somebody is saying something, and the Lord has impressed you to speak out. But I'm so timid. I'm so backward. I'm so shy. You know, I don't speak out. And you hear that long blast of the trump. The last trump. What do you think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. When you have just let your little fears keep you from going forward to do what God wants you to do. When you have loved the world more than you love God. When you're doing this little thing that you know it's questionable. That little thing's questionable. And the trump sounds. Do you know? You're going to know immediately.
Amen.
You're going to feel condemned in your heart.
Yes.
Listen, we're to live to the will of God.
Lord,
we are to be mouthpieces. We are to be, we can't be afraid of jobs and status and family and everybody else. We cannot afford to be afraid of all of them. Because they have no power over. God is the one that has the power of life and death and the final judgment in his hands. God is the one.
Amen.
It's in the 8th verse. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You remember what Peter did? Remember how he denied the Lord? At that time, he was being denied. He was being denied before God. What a sad thing. He went out and wept bitterly, and he got right with God. He started over doing what he should be doing and how he should be doing it. And that's a wonderful thing, to be able to do that. But it's going to mean something. It's going to mean something for us to be able to stand before man and state what we believe. The Lockharts are having to do that right now to the authorities. They're having to stand and state what they believe. And they're going to be ridiculed. And they're going to be told they're cruel. And they're going to be told that they don't have any love for their children. And the fact that they weren't crying and huddled in corners when the officials came, but the children were playing and the parents, they were all in good spirits and everything. Don't you know that they're all looking at him and saying, what is this? This family doesn't even care. Because they weren't mourning like the world mourns.
Yes.
Weren't grieving like the world grieves. They were grieving with the hope and the expectation that she was already in that other kingdom. And that if she had the opportunity, she wouldn't want to come back. And they were thankful that she was there and that she made it. The 11th verse. And when they bring you into the synagogues, and into the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. Do you know that they were being agreeable when the police came and they wanted them to sign a paper because they were opening a case against them and they had to sign some paperwork to say that they understood that a case was being opened against them. They had been, you know, warned and told and all of these things, and they had to sign the paperwork, and so they signed the paperwork, and then the police are getting ready to go, and Brother Arwen sticks out his hand to shake their hands. Do you know they didn't want to shake his hand? But he held it out there until they were forced. They shook his hand, but they didn't want to. You could tell. They're looking at him like he's some kind of monster. And the truth of the matter is, he's just doing what God said to do.
Yes.
And he's suffering like God said, you're going to suffer. And they're going to go through some more before it's over. But we're trusting the Lord to deliver them like he's done so many others.
Yes.
It says the Holy Ghost will teach you what to say. I don't know what kind of questions they asked. I don't know what kind of things that they tried to trip them up. You know that police procedures is to try to get you to talk and to say a lot of things and to incriminate yourself and you know, say things one way this time and another way a different time so they can try to confuse you. I mean, we know these things. I don't know what they faced. But they went through. They didn't know what they were going to be able to say. They didn't know what the questions were going to be. They didn't know what they could say. And they didn't know if they would feel like they could say anything. The Lord knows. There was one time when my husband, when he had gone back to Wisconsin before I did, and he took three of the boys with him, and two of the boys decided they were going to shoplift. So he found the stuff. So he got it out of them what they had done and what store they had got it from. And so he took them back to the store and got the manager. And they had to apologize and give all the things back. And then he took them home and, of course, he spanked them.
Yes.
Well, somebody in the park, because he had his trailer in a small trailer park. I don't know if they heard it or what, but they called the police. So the police came. So they arrested him and took the boys, put them in juvenile hall, and put Brian in prison. And all I get a phone call saying from my one son that was 18 that they couldn't take because he was old enough to stay home. And he says, Dad's in prison. And I had to get on a plane and get back there to get my children so that they wouldn't be in the authorities' hands for very long. Anyway, while he was in there, He was fasting. Fasting and praying. Like anybody would do. They put him on suicide watch. Because they thought he was trying to kill himself. Hurt himself. He's not eating. Oh no, he's going to kill himself. Do you know that God has witnesses? He wants you to be witnesses for things that go on. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to live or die, trust him. Amen. You may not ever come to the point to where you live or die to trust him, but you're going to go through some things. You're going to lose status. You're going to maybe lose a job. You're going to maybe lose, the respect or whatever of neighbors or friends or family. Be ready to suffer, dear ones. This is the life of a Christian.
Lord, help us.
Oh, I know there's the other side. There's joy and happiness and all the things that we were talking about this morning. But there's another side. And it's suffering.
Yes.
You were supposed to arm yourselves. 1 Peter 4, 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, there's a day coming when you'll be glad that you stood, when you'll be glad you said the thing. You'll be glad, even though you suffered for it, that you did the right thing. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye.
Yes.
For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified.
Lord,
see, he's going to be glorified. Oh, yes, it's evil spoken of. Oh, what horrible this and what horrible that. And how could they do such a thing and all these things? But God is glorified. God is pleased. Jesus is putting them before his Father. And the angels are all there presenting it. Look at your faithful children, God. Look at what they did. Look at what they're going through. Look at what they are willing to still go through. To be righteous and holy before you. 16th verse. No, I didn't finish the 13th. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be shamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it is first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? In other words, if we're going through all these sufferings and we're going through all these things and this looks like judgment upon us, what's going to happen to everybody else?
Yeah.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If the righteous scarcely be saved, if they just barely make it because they had a hard time with this little thing and with that little thing, and they couldn't speak up and they fought and fought with the Lord over some little thing God wanted them to give up, or they fought and fought with the Lord over something that God wanted them to put on, some more humility, some more grace, some more whatever he was wanting to put on them, the fruits of the Spirit. And they don't know how, and I don't know this, and I don't know that, and I don't make any efforts, and I don't make any prayers, and I don't ask for anything. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. If you're suffering according to the will of God. Oh, we do a lot of suffering that isn't according to the will of God. We bring it on ourselves.
Yes, it's true.
But there is suffering that is according to the will of God. Things that God chooses out his faithful servants to go through. You know, all of the apostles, except for John, the revelator, died a martyr's death. They all died a martyr's death. They were chased and chased and chased and beaten and all manner of things happened to them over and over and over until they were finally killed.
Yes.
But do you know how the church grew during that time? During that time, the church grew. It multiplied. When Brother Wall was here teaching us about Revelations, he taught us how that the whole empire at that time was overrun with Christianity. It was flourishing. How can it flourish with conditions like that, where their people are being chased and all, because God's laws don't apply to the same way that we think laws apply?
Yes.
To us, it looks like, oh, if that happens, people are going to run from God. No, they ran to God. Because those faithful ones that were willing to die, willing to suffer for his namesake and get up and keep going. And even though they're suffering, Paul was stoned and they thought he was dead. And he gets up and he's full of, no doubt, bruises and what all else was going on in his body. And he gets up and shakes it off and just keeps going. His steps are slow. He's hunched over. He's got aches and pains everywhere. But he didn't just lay down and say, well, I've done all I could. No, dear ones. You haven't resisted unto death yet. There are lots of people, lots of saints, lots of Christians down through the ages of time that have suffered unto death. We haven't done that yet. Could it happen? It could.
Oh, yes.
It could. Mm-hmm. Dear ones, we need to arm ourselves. We need to realize that we need to be strong. But these small little trials and tests that we go through that look so big to us, they are nothing compared to what others go through. We're going to need to arm ourselves.
That's right.
Just expect it. Everything isn't going to go your way. God doesn't answer right away every time. Sometimes he lets you go through and suffer for a while first. Is God being cruel? Is he being uncaring? Does he not care about you? No, that isn't it. He's arming you. See, when you go through those kind of things and you come out on the other side, you are armed for the next battle. So when he takes us through these things and he doesn't just snap his fingers and we're right back out again, and he doesn't just snap his fingers and we're up running and rejoicing because we just got instantaneous healed. When he lets us suffer some things, when we come out on the other side, we are armed.
Amen.
God wants us all to be armed.
Yeah.
We need to help him.
Yeah.
See, we can't fight against him. We need to let God arm us, and we need to be serious about the things that are coming our way. We can see the signs of the times, dear one. I know that just a few years ago, when they first said that there was going to be, that they were going to have gay marriage, you didn't think it was going to end up like this, did you? I didn't. I just thought it would be one of those things and they'd be that. You know. Oh no, they didn't do it quietly.
No.
Oh no, it's bold. Yes. In your face.
Yes.
I had a couple. I was in Walmart shopping. And I guess because of the way I look, they can tell I'm a religious woman. They followed me through that whole store. And this is what they were doing. They would get in front of me, and then they would hug or kiss or do something like that to just throw it in my face.
Wow.
That's the least we're going to face.
That's very true.
This is a dangerous, dangerous spirit.
Yes.
It is an evil of the enemy, and it is not going to stop. It's going to wax worse and worse. And we need to realize, we need to arm ourselves. This is coming our way. This is coming at our children. This is coming at our grandchildren. This is coming. And we're going to have to arm ourselves. When they're saying that even small children get to choose if they're a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
They don't even know they're human.
Right.
They haven't even been taught they're human.
Marvelous.
They haven't even been taught that they're different than animals. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They live in a pretend world.
Right.
They just pretend and have everything the way they want it in their little world. And they're going to make that kind of an important decision. This world has gone crazy with evil. Evil. We're going to have to arm ourselves, dear ones, because these sufferings are coming upon us. And as the end nears, I venture to say there will be more and more suffering of the Christians everywhere. We may not have to resist unto death. But we may be imprisoned.
Yeah.
We may be our children taken. I mean, that's one of the favorite things they love to do. I remember when my husband was in prison and then he got out. And so they wanted to send social workers around to deal with us, to have different ways of disciplining the children because you don't need to hit them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we told them all the different things that we did. It wasn't just spanking. Spanking was the thing for the really serious offenses.
Right.
But all of the others, it was, you know, this, that, or the other. We told them all these things. Do you know the social workers that they sent to us? Were single, no children, barely graduated, telling us how to raise children. Don't even know what they're talking about. Haven't dealt with a rebellious child at all. Thinks that you can set them in a corner and that's good enough. And they will learn their lesson. They will be so chastised. No, they won't. Children aren't like that. Listen, dear ones. We're going to have to arm ourselves. We need to know and be ready at any time.
Right.
To give an answer of the hope that lies in us. We don't know what we're going to face, and we don't know what's going to happen. But whatever it is, we're going to have to face it. And we need to pray for one another, pray for those that are going through it. And I'm telling you, we need to get under the burden, because someday we may need them getting under the burden for us.
Amen.